Morning, everyone. As Dan said, I'm Craig Colburn. I'm an MTW missionary in Japan. We've been in Japan since 1994. From 94 to 96, we worked in an existing Japanese church just to find out what a Japanese church was like. It was a good experience for us to see what the church in Japan had to deal with. And then from 1996 to 2008, we worked in another community, a community called Makuhari, where we worked with a Japanese pastor to start a church there. That church, when we left in 2008, was healthy and strong with good leadership. And so seeing that there were many other places needing a church, we moved to a new city called Urayasu, where we've been since 2011, and part of starting a new church there. And your church has been part of our work all along. And so we're thankful that many times now you've sent us to Japan, and you've been a part of starting now two churches. And so your partnership is important to us, and we're glad for the chance to be with you. This is our last Sunday in the States. We'll go back to Japan on Thursday. And so you're our farewell. And so it's good to be with you and to be sent off by you again. Today's passage, today we'll actually be reading two passages, both in Matthew. The first is both familiar also, the first in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, page 853, if you're using the Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Let me pray before we read. Father, we thank you that you are a seeking God, that you are a God who seeks and saves that which is lost. And we were that which was lost. And so we thank you that you have sought us. And we thank you, in addition to seeking us, that you are a God who has communicated to us, that you've given us your word so that we might know you, that we might know the way of salvation that you have opened for us, and that we might know how we can live as your disciples and as your subjects in order to please you. We pray that you will speak through this word today to our hearts, and that you'll give us hearts that are soft and receptive to what you have to say to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First passage, again, familiar passage, Matthew 6, 9, and 10. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And then the second passage in Matthew chapter 9, just a few pages back, Matthew chapter 9, where I'll read verses 35 to 38. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." In both of these passages that we've read this morning, Jesus tells us something that we should pray. In these prayers, we ask God to bring about certain outcomes. And not only are these outcomes which God desires, but the fact that Jesus tells us to pray about these things shows us that these are things that God wants us to be concerned about as well. In Matthew 6, Jesus gave his disciples a model to teach them how to pray. He said, "In this manner, therefore, pray." The model Jesus taught his disciples, of course, is very familiar to you. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus didn't say that we had to use these exact words to pray. Of course, it's okay for us to use these words to pray, and we did so this morning. But when Jesus taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer, he was teaching them what kinds of things were important for them to pray about. This morning, we'll think about the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. The first is, "Hallowed be your name." The word translated "hallowed" comes from the same root as the word "holy." Now, when we pray this first petition, we're not praying that God's name would be holy. God is holy, and so his name already is holy. Instead, we're praying that people would acknowledge that God's name is holy. Remember, one of the main meanings of the word holy is to be separate. We often think of the word holy as referring to moral purity, but something which is holy is morally pure because it's separate from sin. However, the word holy is also used to refer to something that's sacred. And this usage, too, is also related to the idea of being separate. Something is separate if it's something is sacred if it's separate from the ordinary. And this is the nuance of this prayer, hallowed be your name. When we pray this, we're asking that more and more people in our world would recognize that God is holy, would separate him above all else, and give him the place of first importance in their hearts. Why should God be hallowed? First, because he's our creator. God made each one of us, and God gave us our lives. If God hadn't made us, we wouldn't even exist. If God didn't sustain us from moment to moment, none of us would be alive right now. Because God is the source of our existence and of our lives, it's appropriate that he have the place of first importance in our hearts. In addition to this, God should be hallowed because of his greatness and majesty. The world he created is truly amazing. Think about the vastness of the universe. Think about the cycle of the seasons. The beauty of the natural world is stunning. Think about your own body. The way that your eyes and your ears work. These things show what a master craftsman God is. And God isn't just talented. He should also be hallowed because of his character. He's completely righteous. Unlike us, he never does anything wrong. And he's loving. Jesus taught us to address him as our Father in heaven. He made a wonderful world for us to live in. He provides for all of our needs, and he pours out many blessings on us for us to enjoy. For all these reasons and more, God should be hallowed. But there are many people in our world who don't hallow God's name. Many people don't give God thanks for their lives and for all of his blessings. Many people don't praise God for his majesty and his perfect character. In some ways, Japan is a very religious place. On New Year's Day each year, throngs of people crowd into many Buddhist temples and Shinto shrines. And there they participate in a variety of ceremonies with the hope that because they've done so, the spirits will bring good instead of hardship into their lives that year. During the season of entrance exams into the next level of education, these same temples and shrines will be filled with students praying and buying charms for success on the exams. But all of this religious activity is very different from hallowing God's name. The so-called gods who are prayed to at these temples and shrines are seen simply as a means to an end. And the religious activities are nothing more than superstitious attempts to manipulate these so-called gods to bring about the desired outcome. There's no appreciation of their creator's character and no thankfulness for his goodness. And this is not how it should be. Every person who God has made should give him thanks and praise. And God wants us to be concerned that there are so many people in our world who don't thank and praise him. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, hallowed be your name. Because we love God, we should want him to receive the thanks and the praise that he deserves. The second and third petitions of the Lord's Prayer are related. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom is related to God reigning over all he's created as king. Now, when we pray these petitions, we're not praying that God would be king. God already is king. Because he made the heavens and the earth, God has been king since the beginning. However, in his graciousness, God gives the people that he's made the opportunity to freely and willingly acknowledge him as king. And at present, not all people obey God as their king. And yet, in the end, God will rule all he's created as king. The Bible says that a time is coming when every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Someday, every person will acknowledge God as king. Some will do so willingly and will receive the blessings of being the citizens of God's kingdom. And others will do so unwillingly and receive the consequences of being rebels against God's kingdom. But every person will acknowledge God as king. Being a citizen of God's kingdom is a wonderful thing. For those of us who belong to God's kingdom, God isn't just our king. He's also our loving Heavenly Father. He doesn't just rule us. He also loves us. He wants what's best for us. And his rule over us brings about what's best for us. In God's kingdom, the king is our father, and the kingdom is a family. In heaven, everyone acknowledges God as king, and everyone does his will. But many people in our world don't acknowledge him as king. Many people don't submit to him and seek to do his will. Of course, if we don't acknowledge God as our king, then someone else is our king. If it isn't God's will which guides our choices and our actions, then it's someone else's will. In Japan, it's often the expectations of other people which rule in people's lives. What does my boss expect me to do? What does my neighbor expect me to do? And this is especially true for people who are first sons. The first son has the responsibility to see that the ancestors are worshipped. If the first son is faithful to perform certain ceremonies, it's believed that in time, the spirits of the ancestors can become gods. And we run up against this over and over again as we seek to share the truth of the Bible with Japanese people. If a man is a first son, or if a woman is married to a first son, even if they find the message of the Bible attractive, often they won't come to believe. Instead, they'll submit to the expectations of their family members. God isn't their king. Their family is their king. And this is not how it should be. Every person that God has made should acknowledge him as their king and seek to obey him. And God wants us to be concerned that there are so many people in our world who don't submit to him as king. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." We should be concerned that every person submit to our king. Even those of us who belong to God's kingdom don't perfectly submit to him and do his will. Sometimes, instead of God, we're the ones on the thrones of our hearts. Sometimes we still choose to do as we want rather than as God wants us to do. When we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," we're also praying for ourselves. We're praying that God's kingdom would come more completely in our hearts. We're praying that we would more consistently submit to God ourselves. And God will gladly answer that kind of prayer by working in our hearts to help us to obey him. In Matthew chapter 9, there's a third prayer which Jesus taught his disciples to pray. In verse 38, he said, "Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, Jesus asked his disciples to pray this prayer for a reason. And in verses 35 and 36, Matthew tells us that reason. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. As Jesus traveled to many towns and villages, he met many people who were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. These people had many problems in their lives. They weren't sure what was the meaning of their lives. They didn't know how to live happy and truly fulfilling lives. They kept making mistakes, which brought pain and unhappiness into their lives. And they didn't know what to do to make their lives better. In addition to their problems in their worldly lives, some of these people had eternal problems as well. They didn't acknowledge God as their king. Instead, they were living as if they were the king of their hearts. And for this reason, they were in danger of facing the consequences of those who are rebels against God's authority. Jesus said that they were weary. They couldn't fix their problems. Jesus said that they needed a shepherd. They needed someone to show them which way they should go. They needed someone to show them how to live. And they needed someone to help them to be restored to right relationship with God as their king. The Bible calls Jesus the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus is the shepherd that we all need. Because Jesus is God, he knows everything about us. He made us. He can help us to understand the meaning of our lives. He can help us to know how to live happy and truly fulfilling lives. And he can teach us how to make our lives better. And because Jesus died on the cross, our sins can be forgiven. God is willing to forgive us for all the times we've ignored him as our king. He's willing to forgive us for all the times we've done as we wanted instead of doing as he wanted. He's willing to accept Jesus' death as punishment for our sins. By believing in Jesus and his death for our sins, all of our sins can be forgiven, and we can be restored to a right relationship with God as our King. Jesus has compassion for lost sheep. He has compassion for our problems and the problems of those around us. Jesus is willing to be our shepherd and the shepherd of those around us. The Bible says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." There are many people in our world who are weary and scattered. There are many people who are like sheep having no shepherd. We met a man in Japan. I'll call him Mr. Sato, but that's not his real name. Mr. Sato likes foreigners, and so he got to know a number of missionaries. He's a very kind man. For example, he's picked us up from the airport when we've returned from the U.S. in the past. And he often gives us vegetables from his garden. When a church member was stricken with cancer, Mr. Sato visited him in the hospital many times. But Mr. Sato's made a number of unwise choices in his personal life. And as a result, he now lives separately from his wife, and he's losing his relationships with his children. I'm very sad to see what a wreck he's making of his life. He needs the help of a shepherd in his family relationships. He needs guidance for how to live, and he needs forgiveness for some of the ways he's chosen to live. Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Many people need a shepherd. They're all around us, and they're all around the world. As Jesus said in another passage, the fields are white for harvest. But there are only a few people telling them that Jesus is the shepherd they need. That's why Jesus told us to pray, the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into his harvest. God wants us to be concerned that there are many people who need a shepherd. He wants us to pray that more and more people would help them to find their shepherd and their king. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. Our King is our Creator and our loving Heavenly Father. We praise Him for His character. We thank Him for His goodness to us. Because we love Him, what's important to Him is also important to us. In the passages we've read today, God has told us some of the things that are important to Him. It's important that His name be hallowed. It's important that He be acknowledged and obeyed as King. And it's important that lost sheep who've strayed from Him learn about the Shepherd who can restore them to right relationship with Him as their King. God wants us to be concerned about these things as well. The first is a Godward concern. God should be worshipped and obeyed. As we see that many people don't acknowledge Him, we should long for Him to receive the worship and obedience that He deserves. But the second is a manward concern. Many people are suffering the consequences of their alienation from God. And God calls us to have compassion for such people and long that they might find relief from their suffering by finding Jesus as their shepherd. So what should we do? First, we should pray as Jesus taught us in these passages. These are kingdom prayers. As God answers these prayers, He will be hallowed as King, and more people will be rescued from their lostness to become citizens of His kingdom. This morning, I've mentioned some ways in which God is not hallowed and obeyed as King in Japan. I've mentioned some people from Japan who need Jesus as their shepherd. But those exact same problems are happening right here around us. And so, of course, we need to pray for the people that God has put into our lives, our family members, our neighbors, our coworkers. But there's one thing we should be careful about. Our natural human tendency is to be primarily concerned with the things that directly affect us. And of course, that's appropriate. But our concern should be directed by God's concern. And God wants the worship and obedience of people who are very far from us as well. Jesus is the shepherd that all the world needs. Your church is involved in sending workers into a number of harvest fields. Some of those harvest fields are nearby, and some of them are very far away. I want to encourage you to pray for the lost sheep in those fields as well. As we pray, it's best if we pray informed prayers. Who are those lost sheep? What are the problems that they face? What are the things that keep them from God as their King? I want to encourage you to find out how to get information which will enable you to pray for one or two of the workers that your church has sent. Praying kingdom prayers is dangerous. These are prayers which God loves to answer. And the danger is that you may be part of the answer to your prayers. God might use you to help people to hallow His name. He might use you to help people to acknowledge Him as King and to learn to live in submission to Him. He might use you to help lost people to find their shepherd. Is there a harvest field into which God is sending you? Not all harvest fields are in other countries. Your child's school might be your harvest field. Your neighborhood or your workplace might be your harvest field. But as you pray, God might put a special concern on your heart for another harvest field where the workers are few. He might lead you to go to that harvest field as a missionary. Or He might lead you to help someone else to go to that harvest field as a missionary. By praying, going, and sending, each of us can have a part in God's name being hallowed and in God's kingdom coming. Let's pray. Father, first we acknowledge this morning that you are the God who deserves to be worshiped and obeyed. That as our Creator, as our loving Heavenly Father, as the righteous and powerful and majestic one, you deserve the praise and the worship of everyone that you have made. And Father, we thank you that you are a compassionate God, a God who has compassion on those who have become alienated from you because of our sin. Thank you for sending Jesus to this earth to die on the cross, that sins could be forgiven and that we could be restored to you. And we pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see around us the harvest fields, which are white with harvest. Help us to see in our day-to-day lives, in the people that we rub shoulders with on a regular basis, that these too are among the harvest that you will reap. And help us to pray and to be your representatives in these people's lives. And Father, help us to remember too that you desire a harvest all across the world from every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And we pray that you would help us not to forget those that we can't see, but to pray that you would send workers into those harvest fields and that you would reap a harvest there as well, that your name might be hallowed and that your kingdom might grow all around the world. And we pray that you'll help each of us to know the way that you want to use us in bringing those things to pass. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.